This is the word of the Lord found in Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verses 8 through 12. Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verses 8 through 12. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. The words of the wise are as goads and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. And further, by these, my son, be admonished. Of making many books, there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. If you would like, I encourage you to open a paper Bible or get on your electronic Bible and follow with me. Don't feel like you have to, but I encourage it if you want to. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity. When you study the Bible, I want you to be very aware of this truth regarding the word all. We study, as English-speaking peoples, we find great value and preference in the King James translation. But in any translation that's English, if you encounter the word all, A-L-L, there are at least three major ways to look at it. All can mean everything without exception. That means just, and that's the meaning we usually jump to. Just means everything, nothing excepted. All can mean everything without condition. Or all everything without distinction, I'll say it that way, means all types. If I would say, you know, all people in this room are represented of all ages, that wouldn't mean all without exception. We don't have any that are over 90 here. But we've got some folks that are in their single digits. What a blessing. We've got some folks that are in the 20s. We've got some folks in their 50s. We've got ages without distinction. We've covered different age groups. So it can mean all without distinction. Or it can mean all under consideration. That is, you set a specific criterion and you're talking about everything within that criterion. Now, let me give you an example of why this is important. If you immediately jump to everything without exception, you're going to run into some terrible contradictions in Scripture. Let me mention one that just came up this Wednesday as we were studying. If you're reading through Exodus chapter 9, we read about the plagues and the signs and wonders that come upon Egypt in the time that the Lord's about to deliver the children of Israel out of slavery. And it mentions a plague that follows after the Nile River is turned to blood, and then later there's a plague of frogs, and then later there's a plague of lice, and then there's later a plague of flies. And then after that, there comes a disease on the livestock called a murrain of the beasts. And it says none of the cattle of the children of Israel died, but all the cattle of Egypt died. Okay. And then after that, you get another plague. And then after that, you get this plague of hail. And God gives Moses a warning to give to the Egyptians, and I expect to the Hebrews as well, but says, gather your cattle inside, like under a shelter or a cave or something like that, and he that heeded the word of God, gathered his cattle inside, but he that heeded not the word of God left his cattle in the field, and they died. Well, wait a minute. I thought all the Egyptian cattle died in the moraine of the beast. That's what the Bible says. All the cattle of the Egyptians died. Well, does that mean all of them without exception, every head of livestock? Or does it mean all without distinction? They lost some cows, they lost some sheep, they lost some goats, they lost some camels, they lost some donkeys, they lost some horses. Which does it mean? It has to mean the second. It has to. There wasn't enough time in between these plagues for them to have a whole new crop there. They had some that were lost in that moraine of the beast, but then there were others of different types that needed to be brought in from the hailstorm. And you see this even more importantly as you get to the use of the word all as the scripture goes on, that there's all without exception, all without distinction, and all under consideration. Why did I go into that long explanation? Because we run into it again here in verse 8. Vanity of vanities. Vanity means worthless. And vanities means worthless things. Oh, the worthlessness of worthless things is what this is saying. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity. Does that mean everything in the universe without exception is vanity? Does that mean God is vanity? That his word is vanity? That his house is vanity? That his purpose is vanity? Of course not. As a matter of fact, let me give you a scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the last verse in that chapter. After speaking about the resurrection, the Apostle Paul, writing under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, concludes this way. He says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The work you do, being here, helping others, trying to do what you can in prayer, in reading God's word, in acts of kindness and mercy, let me tell you, those are not in vain. Those have purpose. Those have lasting impact. Those are pleasing to God. So God and his word and his purpose and his house and his salvation and the labor that you do in serving him are not vanity. So how am I to interpret this? Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity. Is the writer here just wrong? Is this scripture not inspired? Is it mistaken? No. It's perfectly sound. It is all under consideration. And what is under consideration? It says in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, starting with the first verse, the words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? And you read this over and over again. Verse 9, the thing that hath been, it is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done, and there is no new thing under the sun. And you go on again and you'll read this under the sun over and over again. What is vanity is everything that starts with this fallen world and this fallen human race. That is everything that has its beginning and its origin under the sun is worthless. It is vanity. And that is the context of the book of Ecclesiastes, when this preacher writes that all is vanity. He's talking about things that began under the sun in this fallen world. And in that consideration, all things under consideration are vanity. Now, what that means is things that I do in and of myself, of my fallen flesh, of the old man, are worthless. They are worthless. My whole time, all my effort, all my desires, all my dreams, all my words that result from my flesh, which had its origin under the sun, they are worth nothing. Nothing. Everything I do in the Lord, however, everything I do in His service, everything I do in love for Him or His people, they count. They matter. Because that's what we just quoted in 1 Corinthians. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The whole human race, everything they do that is not in the Lord Jesus Christ is worthless. All the books they've written, all the buildings they built, all the nations they formed, all the history they left is worth nothing except for that which has been done in the Lord God. And there are things that have been done because of God's mercy and grace in the lives of people, and they are lasting and they are worthwhile. You remember when Mary of Bethany came in as Jesus Christ was at supper, and she brought in this alabaster box of ointment, and she broke it and anointed His feet and head, and she bowed down at His feet, and she began to wipe His feet with her hair. And even the disciples were kind of upset about this. The people, why this waste? This could have been sold for 300 pence and given to the poor. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, let her alone. She hath done what she could. She's come aforehand to anoint my body to the burial. And I say unto you that wheresoever the gospel is preached, this that she hath done shall be told of her. Let me tell you, that woman at the feet of Jesus Christ did something that lasts forever. Forever. Her work lasts forever. It mattered. It made a difference. And yet most of the people there, even the disciples, didn't recognize its value. There was somebody who did recognize its value. Our Savior, Jesus Christ. Not only did He recognize it, He proclaimed its value. Let her alone. She had done what she could. Well, what she could was of lasting value. So when we read this scripture, I just want you to make that importance. The word all, and you have to find out by reading the context, scripture around it. By harmonizing, all can mean all without exception, all without distinction, all under consideration. And this all, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity, is all under consideration. All the things done that have their beginning under the sun are worthless. They are vanity. And moreover, because the preacher was wise. Wait a minute, who is this preacher? Because he refers to it over and over again. In this case, it is Solomon. And his name never appears in this book, but let me prove it to you. Verse 1 of chapter 1, the words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Okay? So this is, and that's not enough, because there were plenty of descendants of David that ruled from Jerusalem. But then I get to verse 12, and it says, I, the preacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem. After Solomon, there was no king over the whole nation of Israel in Jerusalem, because his son Rehoboam only ruled over Judah, and another man, Jeroboam, ruled over the other tribes. So it was only one son of David that ruled from Jerusalem over all of Israel, and that was Solomon. And he wrote that. Now, Solomon did some terrible things. Solomon did. He married 700 wives, 300 concubines. And when he was old, when he became old, his wives, many of whom were foreign, turned his heart away from serving the true and living God and worshiped false gods, and he even built temples for these false gods. How could that be? He was blessed with natural intelligence. He was blessed by his request with divine wisdom from God. How could he have all these natural smarts and all this divine wisdom and do such a stupid, foolish thing? It's because he had the wisdom, but he did not act according to the wisdom he had. And we can do that. That's a warning to us. So he did that. And I have my own thoughts about the books he wrote. It seems to me that Song of Solomon, I can't prove this, but it seems to me Song of Solomon was written when Solomon was still young, still so much in love with the Lord. Proverbs was written more in his middle age before he started turning away so much. And then he turned away from the Lord and probably in those years wrote nothing that was inspired. And toward the end of his life, when he went through a spell where he hated life and he began repenting, that he wrote this book of Ecclesiastes just before he died. Can't prove that, but it seems to fit. So here's Solomon. And it says, and moreover, because the preacher was wise, his wisdom remained with him. He still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. His wisdom that was given from God was an ability to see things more from God's point of view. And because he had that, he knew it was good for people to have that point of view of God, even God's point of view about this fallen world and how vain it is. It was good, so he set in order many proverbs. And verse 10 says, the preacher sought to find out acceptable words. You and I ought to do that too. Solomon did it. But when we think about acceptable words, acceptable to whom? That's an important question. And let me answer it quickly. It is acceptable unto God. In the book of that Paul writes to Timothy, Paul writes this by the Holy Spirit. He says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, when you go to the Bible, you don't need to divide the truth from the error because it's all true. It's all good. What you need to do is rightly divide what pertains to what, such as vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Rightly dividing that pertains to things done in a fallen world under the sun. Things done in your labor in the Lord are not vain. That's just an example. Both are true. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. All under the sun is vanity. That's true. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, that's true. Rightly divide it. Here's work under the sun. Here's work in the Lord. Rightly divide the word of truth. But the first part is what I want to call your attention to. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. When you seek out acceptable words, when you want to show yourself approved, you want to show yourself approved unto God. You want to find out words that are acceptable unto God. And I tell you, if you do that, they won't always be acceptable unto men. Now that's kind of part. And, you know, I like my preaching to be approved of men and women and acceptable to men and women. I like to say, oh, that was a nice sermon. You know, I appreciate that. But I tell you, the main critic that any faithful preacher should be considering is God. It's God. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. You know, there's times when people will say, prophesy not to us of this, prophesy unto us smooth things. Tell us what we like to hear. Now, you've got religious organizations today that are filled with thousands of people, and they tell people what they want to hear. How do you like this truth in the Scripture? You did nothing to get yourself born again. God did it because he set his purpose and his love upon you, and he did it without your permission, without your approval, without your ability to refuse. Just as he created your natural life without your permission, he gives unto you everlasting life without your permission. How do you like that? You did nothing to get yourself born again. You did nothing to get yourself to heaven. Don't you feel good about that? You know, after you think about it a while, you will feel good about that. If you're really mourning over your sins, if you really know how far short you've fallen, if you really know how your own mind is subject to work, it'll be, thank God he overruled my ways and my choices and loved me notwithstanding. But if you're like we usually are in the flesh, I am the captain of my own destiny. I make my own choices. It wouldn't be fair if God didn't give everybody a chance. And he gave everybody a chance, and some people declined that chance. But I, in my wisdom, accepted it. God forbid. Now, people don't like that. We need to find out words that are acceptable to God. If they happen to be acceptable to man, well, good. But many times they're not. Many times the preaching of the cross is offensive. Why is it offensive? Well, my sins are so bad in God's sight, so terrible, that the only way they could be paid for, expunged, put away, is for a good, harmless, holy, perfect individual to go be mocked, spat upon, struck, scourged, nailed to a cross, and die. And not only that, the physical part, to be punished by God hanging in the darkness for my sin. That's the only way the sins of Marty Smith could be put away. Does that make me feel good? Does that make me look good? Does that make me seem good? My sins are so bad in the sight of a holy God. That's what was required, and nothing less than that. That was what was required to put them away. And furthermore, the putting away by the blood of Jesus Christ was so successful, so victorious, that I can't accept or refuse it. It comes to me because it was a transaction between God and Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, and he offered himself once without spot to God, and God accepted it, and he said it is finished and it's done, regardless of what I say about it. But you know what I say about it? Hallelujah. Thank God he did it. That's offensive. That is offensive to say my sins were so bad that that's what's required. It's offensive to say I had nothing to do in accepting or refusing it. God in love gave it to me. Makes me mighty small, doesn't it? Makes me mighty bad. Makes me mighty weak. It sounds like I'm dead in trespasses and sins, and he gave me life anyway. Amen. That's what the Bible says. So the preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. Those are words from the I Am that are true. They are so. The words of the wise are as goads and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. Okay, that's usually what I concentrate on. These are used and fastened by the masters of assemblies. That is, that's somebody that moderates a meeting. Right now, I'm moderating the meeting here in Roswell, Georgia. And over there, Brother Randall's moderating a meeting in Milton. And Brother Glenn is moderating a meeting in Canton. Brother Lloyd's moderating a meeting in Sandy Springs. Brother Marty Hoskins is moderating a meeting over in Dallas. And Brother John Melvin's moderating a meeting over in Lilburn. And so that's moderating or being the master of assembly, handing out these goats and nails, words of the wise. And the reason they're words of the wise is not us. It's because they're words that come from this book, from Jesus Christ, who is made unto his wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. But These words of the wise are handed out by masters of assemblies, men that are moderating these little assemblies, these little meetings throughout the world. It's happening in the Philippines, happening in Africa, happening in India. It's happening in different places throughout the world. And they're given from one shepherd. Maybe many masters of assemblies, just regular, fallible men needing a Savior, are handing out these goats and nails. But they come from one shepherd. The shepherd is the good shepherd, Jesus Christ, who because of his finished work, this book becomes useful. This book becomes lively. He says, "Search ye the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they that testify of me." So it comes from one shepherd, the good shepherd, given out by masters of assembly, but these words of the wise are as goads and nails. I think most of you know what a goad is. A goad is a pointy stick that if you're tending sheep or cattle or goats or livestock, and that sheep just won't move, you come up with a little pointy stick and you don't pierce it through, but you give it a nudge, enough to be uncomfortable, and the sheep starts moving again because he wants you to quit poking him with that pointy stick. That's what a goad is. And the words of the wise work that way sometimes. As nails. The words of the wise are as goads and as nails. Nails kind of perform the opposite function. If you want two boards to be joined together and not slide and move at each other, you get a good nail of the proper size and you drive it through without splitting if you can manage it. And that way it fixes something so it doesn't move. Or if you want to hang a picture on the wall, you take a nail and you try to find the stud behind the drywall and you nail it in there, and then that picture doesn't move. It hangs safely on the wall. That is, a goad is a device to get something that should move but isn't moving to move. A nail is a device to get something that will move to stay still if it needs to stay still. I think I've given this example before, but suffer me to once again. It's handy in your bag of tools and things sometimes to have some WD-40 and some duct tape. Because if you've got something that should move and it's not moving, then you use the WD-40. If you've got something that should stay still and it's moving around, then you use the duct tape. Well, this is even more effective. The words of the wise are as goads. That is, if something should be moving and it's not, use the goad. And if something is moving and it shouldn't, use the nail. The words of the wise are that way. And that's what my mind is really on this morning, is that the words of the wise, where the wise is that one shepherd, Jesus Christ, because he's the one that gave us this scripture, just as he gives us eternal life. He says, "Search ye the scriptures, for in them you think ye have eternal life, and they are they that testify of me." All of this scripture testifies of Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you, why do we need goads? We need goads because we, rightly as children of God, are in a state of change. You know what predestination is about? It says, "For as many as he foreknew, them did he predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." That's what predestination is. It's to take somebody who's in a state of death and trespasses and sins, make them alive in Jesus Christ, lead them into discipleship to be converted more and more Christ-like, until one day they leave this world and they go in the presence of God and they are glorious like Jesus Christ. So our life should be us in a constant change and state of change, where we're becoming less like what we were and more like what we shall be in Jesus Christ. It's needful for us to change, and sometimes we need goads. We need to be encouraged to change. Let me give you an example. If there's somebody that's trespassed against you and you have not forgiven them, repent. You need to forgive them their trespasses. Now, that doesn't mean you have to still like them. Doesn't mean you have to trust them. Doesn't mean you have to give them a chance to hurt you again. Doesn't mean you have to stand by and let them hurt somebody else. Doesn't mean any of that. It means they have hurt you. You acknowledge they've hurt you, they've done you wrong, they owe you. You are not going to collect. You're not going to get even. You're not going to bring about vengeance. You are going to let it go for the sake of Jesus Christ. And you know what? If you don't do that, it says, for if you forgive not everyone his brother of his trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. That means if you want God to give you that feeling of peace and release and freedom, and that you are able to feel that forgiveness of his even while you live on the earth, part of the requirement is you do that for others. If you can't do that, please repent. Please change. If you hadn't read this whole book and you're an adult, read it. Repent. From Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. The whole thing. The whole thing. For all Scripture, this is without exception, brothers and sisters. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. To have such a book as this and miss it in your lifetime, God forbid. Change. Get it done. That's one of the great blessings we've had. Wednesday nights, we went one chapter a week, and it took us over 20 years, but we got from the beginning of the Bible through the end. Now we're speeding it up a little bit. We're doing 2 chapters a week. So maybe 10 years. But Brother Jerry has helped us out still more. He's put us and tied us into a telephone application, smartphone application. We get on and we read the Bible through in a year. And that's been about the last 5 years. So there's many people sitting here that read through the Bible 5 times in the last 5 years. Thank God, don't pat yourself on the back, but you've done what you should. That's a goad. You know, get it done. Make the change. Here's another one. If you've come to see that Jesus Christ is a successful Savior, that he's not one who died to make salvation available, but not actual, and that he has died to save his people from their sins, and he saves them all without fail, and you have not been baptized into a church that believes that, repent and be baptized. As the people said on the day of Pentecost, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For this promises unto you and to your children and to as many as are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Those are goats. Forgive those that have trespassed against you. Read the entire Bible. Be baptized into a church that believes in a successful Savior, Jesus Christ. Those are goats. What about nails? Why do we have nails? Because there's some things that move that shouldn't move. These two, this stud and this block here, or this joist that sits on top of, they shouldn't move, so they're nailed. And it's to fix. There are some things that shouldn't move. Why are there things that shouldn't move? Because God doesn't change. He says, I am the Lord. I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Because his word is faithful. He gives his word. It doesn't change. And this is some things. Here's some nails that you need. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. Is that the confession of your soul? Can you confess that Jesus of Nazareth is truly the Son of God? If so, here's something that needs to be fixed in your mind. God dwells in you, and you dwell in God. You can't get out of God, and God won't get out of you. That is fixed. It's fixed. It should never change. Don't doubt it. There are times I know the enemy and the prince of this world will want to make you doubt. Don't doubt it. Remember that word of God, that unchanging word of an unchanging God. Let it be fixed and you be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Sometimes I need to be poked with a goad so that I move, so that I change as God would have me change. But there's sometimes I need some nails in a sure place so that I know God doesn't change. His word doesn't change. His promise doesn't change. His church will be in the world. His people will be victorious. Those things do not change, nor will they ever change, because they are fixed in the unchanging nature of the everlasting God. So the words of the wise are as goads and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. And further, by these, my son, be admonished. Of making many books, there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. There are a bunch of books published in the human race. Thank God. I'm glad there's a lot of information. You know, the library in Alexandria was burned down early, many years ago. That was a loss. But there were some faithful guys in these little monasteries in Ireland, different places, copying out books. I'm glad for them. But brothers and sisters, the books produced by the human race are more than any of us can read. They are. Some of them are valuable. They help you with your field of labor. Some of them are entertaining. They help you pass a hour or two on the beach. You know, those are good. But you've got to watch out. There are too many that can consume your life. And now we've got videos. You don't even have to open a book. You can watch this, you can watch that, you can watch the other. There is a flood of information. And further, by these, my son, be admonished. That is, be warned about this. There's this huge flood of information and entertainment available. Of making many books, there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. I'm not saying don't crack a book. Do. Enjoy reading. I'm not saying don't watch a video. Watch the ones that help you. I can't tell you the times they've helped me fix my car or some plumbing when I didn't know what I was doing. I'm thankful for those. But limit your inflow of information and prioritize the truth. Because these are the words of the wise in this book. These are the goads and nails you need more than any other information. Be warned about that. Be grateful for what we have, what education we have, what entertainment and videos that are wholesome that we have. Grateful for that, but never, ever let it consume your energy and your time to the point you neglect the words of the wise. Because search ye the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. And they are they that testify of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, dear God, thank you for this time together. Thank you, dear God, for your word. Thank you for the words of the wise, Lord. And we thank you that our Lord Jesus Christ has been made unto us wisdom and righteousness, sanctification and redemption, and that this scripture, Lord, testifies of him, and that it is a thorough furnisher for those of your children, Lord, that need your direction. And Lord, we need your direction. Please lead, guide, and direct us. Please open the eyes of your children. Please revive us, O God. We beg that you would send laborers into your harvest. Forgive us our sins. Help us to love one another. Help us to follow in your paths. Help us to glorify your name and accept our thanks, dear God. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.